This series has been answering the question, does God exist? We have already examined many scientific facts, quotes, and stunning evidence from the natural world that proves a master creator designed all we see around us. But there is more to learn. Part 4 looks more closely at how true science in no way disproves God. We will also see how evolutionists get away with presenting their theories as established fact, along with the changing scenarios scientists use to explain how life came to be. Watch to the end. Quoting is done more than other broadcasts because we now bring additional proof showing scientists in their own words explaining why the existence of a God is necessary. Why there being no God is entirely implausible, literally not possible.
The world to come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age full of war, famine, pollution, disease, disasters, and economic uncertainty, and ever-worsening bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
First, let's look more in depth at how evolutionists get away with presenting their theory as established fact. Writers, lecturers, and television programs on evolution use a variety of deceptive tricks, wittingly or unwittingly, to sell their audience what is unproven and unprovable. Creation logic is mocked and replaced by bald illogic. Theories are professed with no more than suggested proof, and sometimes not even this. Fascinating truths are woven toward whatever false conclusion is needed. Important history and figures are used to support mere conjecture. Powerful music sometimes stirs emotions to glorious heights of association with supposed truth. Compelling language is used and scripting of outcome to sell nonsensical drivel. Poetic rhythm is often employed with utter gibberish repeated over and over until the viewer or reader has almost no choice but to collapse and accept pure fiction as fact. Foolish comparisons are sprinkled throughout. Marvelous visible wonders are connected to opinions. Powerful graphics are shown, but also based on complete fiction, like bone fragments being presented as part of the evolutionary fossil record when no such record exists. Facts are tied to confusing, mystical statements that breed acceptance. Near impossible probabilities are just ignored. Utterly impossible conclusions are presented for belief by simple assertion. Scientific terms are oft spoken and used to mean whatever evolutionists need them to. Misleading anti-Bible statements are used, such as, matter obeyed commands we could discover, laws the Bible hadn't mentioned. I've even seen cartoon characters speak incredibly shallow commentary to drive a completely false point. Outright silliness is given and received as science merely because it is said with a straight face, and simple imagination is passed off as scientific certainty. Sadly, anti-creationists constantly denigrate any idea of creation by any means possible. Terrible bias blinds them. However sincere, scientists who were taught to reject the Creator's revealed instruction book present far-fetched theories about the beginning of all things. A quote describes how all humans, animals, and plants supposedly sprang from nothing. If you compress all the time since the Big Bang, the explosive birth of the universe, into a single Earth year, a billion years is about 1 month of that year. What was happening on Earth a billion years ago? Most of Earth's land was amassed into a supercontinent called Rodinia. It was a barren desert. No animals, no plants, single-celled organisms dominated the oceans. This is pure opinion that is now broadly challenged. But some existed in colonies called microbial mats, and the first multicellular organisms would soon evolve. Again, simple opinion, supposition presented with authority. This show concluded suggesting viewers not let ignorant, fanatical religionists confuse them. We continue. Have scientists known sin? Of course. We have misused science, just as we have every other tool at our disposal. The leap of logic begins here, and that's why we can't afford to leave it in the hands of a powerful few, unless they're scientists. The more science belongs to all of us, the less likely it is to be misused, meaning by religionists. These values undermine the appeals of fanaticism and ignorance. And, after all, the universe is mostly dark, guided by islands of light. Learning the age of the earth or the distance to the stars or how life evolves, because it matters what's true, and our imagination is nothing compared to nature's awesome reality. I want to know what lies beyond the cosmic horizon and how life began. But the great God tells us. We've begun to learn the story of our origins, star stuff, contemplating the evolution of matter. But you have seen matter cannot evolve, that this is impossible. Tracing that long path by which it arrived at consciousness, we and the other living things on this planet carry a legacy of cosmic evolution spanning billions of years. If we come to know and love nature as it really is, then we will surely be remembered by our descendants as good, strong links in the chain of life. Obviously very sincere, but just as sincerely wrong. Millions are now embarrassed to admit belief in God, but especially the Genesis creation account. Yet scenarios of how life supposedly began continue to change. This is from a book review. Most people learn some version of the primordial soup theory, which posits that Earth's early oceans contained enough organic chemicals to form spontaneously some kind of primitive self-replicator. But biology has moved on, and Mr. Lane, the author, gives a convincing account, based on basic chemical principles, of why this theory is almost certainly wrong. There is simply not enough energy available in such a system to produce complicated chemicals at anything like the required rate. Mr. Lane's preferred idea is that life got its start in warm vents at the bottom of the ocean, in which hot, mineral-infused water wells up from beneath the seafloor. As the water cools, the minerals precipitate out, forming intricate, honeycombed structures. These tiny mineral chambers provided an early version of the modern cell wall. You can just hear the music in the background of this classic opinion given as fact. They kept the chemistry inside the cell different from that outside. Who says? That, in turn, allowed the formation of a strong voltage gradient across their boundaries. The opinion necessarily must grow. Those gradients were the forerunners of the voltage differences that enable modern cells to manufacture the thousands of chemicals they need to function. What? And which therefore provide the vital spark for every living thing on the planet. Let's return to examining the incredible complexity of life on Earth. In part three, we saw the intricacy of the human eye. And the more mankind learns about how the human body functions, we must ask, how could it possibly have just evolved? The very nose on your face brings this question smashing into it. How is it that your nose can smell one or more odors or fragrances and know within a split second what they are? Let's understand the human sense of smell. How does a nose, bombarded with odors that arrive in different amounts and combinations, consistently identify each aroma? It can essentially be broken down into a predictable mathematical pattern. Odors arrive in small packets, tiny bouquets of molecules that are inhaled. Receptor cells inside the nose respond by producing a series of electrical spikes, which are communicated to the olfactory bulb in the brain, where the smell is decoded. It's like Morse code, said a professor of neurobiology, supervisor of a recent study about the olfactory system that is the first to document the coding is linear. The pattern and spacing of the clicks make different letters. The pattern of the electrical spikes translates to specific smells. But significantly, When the smell is repeated in the same dose, the pattern remains the same. And when the odor varies in duration, the neuron's electrical response changes proportionately. In other words, the response is orderly and predictable rather than chaotic and irregular. And dumb evolution did this? Dr. Wernher von Braun, recall he was the father of the American space program, saw that complexity of design throughout nature and the universe pointed to a great designer. Consider this extensive insight. For me, the idea of a creation is not conceivable without invoking the necessity of design. One cannot be exposed to the law and order of the universe without concluding that there must be design and purpose behind it all. In the world around us, we can behold the obvious manifestations of an ordered, structured plan or design. We can see the will of the species to live and propagate, and we are humbled by the powerful forces at work on a galactic scale and the purposeful orderliness of nature that endows a tiny and ungainly seed with the ability to develop into a beautiful flower. The better we understand the intricacies of the universe and all it harbors, the more reason we have found to marvel at the inherent design upon which it is based. While the admission of a design for the universe ultimately raises the question of a designer, a subject outside science, the scientific method does not allow us to exclude data which lead to the conclusion that the universe, life, and man are based on design. To be forced to believe only one conclusion, that everything in the universe happened by chance, would violate the very objectivity of science itself. Certainly, there are those who argue the universe evolved out of a random process. But what random process could produce the brain of a man or the system of the human eye? Some people say that science has been unable to prove the existence of a designer. They admit that many of the miracles in the world around us are hard to understand, and they do not deny that the universe is indeed a far more wondrous thing than the creation medieval man could perceive. But they still maintain that since science has provided us with so many answers, the day will soon arrive when we will be able to understand even the creation of the fundamental laws of nature without a divine intent. They challenge science to prove the existence of God, but must we really light a candle to see the sun? Many men who are intelligent and of good faith say they cannot visualize a designer. Well, can a physicist visualize an electron? The electron is materially inconceivable, and yet it is so perfectly known through its effects that we use it to illuminate our cities, guide our airliners through the night skies, and take the most accurate measurements. What strange rationale makes some physicists accept the inconceivable electron as real while refusing to accept the reality of a designer on the ground that they cannot conceive him? I have discussed the aspect of a designer at some length because it might be that the primary resistance to acknowledging the case for design as a viable scientific alternative to the current case for chance lies in the inconceivability in some scientists' minds of a designer. We in NASA were often asked what the real reason was for the amazing string of successes we had with Apollo flights to the moon. I think the only honest answer we could give was that we tried to never overlook anything. It is in the same sense of scientific honesty that I endorse the presentation of alternative theories for the origin of the universe, life, and man in the science classroom. It would be an error to overlook the possibility that the universe was planned rather than happening by chance. End of quote. While this series has made plain that planning is far more than a possibility, one could wish for more such honest science. In fact, most scientists do not want you reading these kinds of other scientists.
The World to Come program will return after this brief message. Be sure to regularly view The World to Come. It is unlike anything you've seen before. The subject of this broadcast is only one of the many biblical topics that are misunderstood and misinterpreted by modern Christianity. The law of God, the origin of traditional holidays, salvation, heaven, hell, and the purpose of the family, the Sabbath, real faith, proper baptism, true conversion, financial laws, and numerous others are covered on this program. On The World to Come, you will hear the plain truth of these subjects and many more. You will also hear world news examined in the light of Bible prophecy, its biggest elements made easy to understand. Tune in for every broadcast. And now, back to David C. Pack.
The next quote is beyond fascinating. The longest quote in the whole series, it comes from a Time magazine article, Why Science Does Not Disprove God, and shows more evidence God's existence in no way conflicts with science. It begins, "A number of recent books and articles would have you believe that somehow science has now disproved the existence of God. We know so much about how the universe works, their authors claim, that God is simply unnecessary. We can explain all the workings of the universe without the need for a creator. And indeed, science has brought us an immense amount of understanding. But does this vast knowledge base disprove the existence of some kind of pre-existent outside force that may have launched our universe on its way? Science is an amazing, wonderful undertaking. It teaches us about life, the world, and the universe, but it has not revealed why the universe came into existence, nor what preceded its birth in the Big Bang. Biological evolution has not brought us the slightest understanding of how the first living organisms emerged from inanimate matter on this planet, and how the advanced eukaryotic cells, the highly structured building blocks of advanced life forms, ever emerged from simpler organisms. Neither does it explain one of the greatest mysteries of science. How did consciousness arise in living things? What is it that allows humans to understand the mysteries of biology, physics, mathematics, engineering, and medicine? And what enables us to create great works of art, music, architecture, and literature? Science is nowhere near explaining these deep mysteries." We will send you a free booklet answering these questions. Titled What Science Will Never Discover About Your Mind, it addresses every question you have about why you have a mind that can think and create, and animals merely have brains that function on instinct. We continue the quote. "But much more important than these conundrums is the persistent question of the fine-tuning of the parameters of the universe. Why is our universe so precisely tailor-made for the emergence of life? This question has never been answered satisfactorily. The deeper we delve into the mysteries of physics and cosmology, the more the universe appears to be intricate and incredibly complex. To explain the quantum mechanical behavior of even one tiny particle requires pages and pages of extremely advanced mathematics. Why are even the tiniest particles of matter so unbelievably complicated? It appears that there is a vast hidden wisdom or structure or knotty blueprint for even the most simple-looking element of nature. And the situation becomes much more daunting as we expand our view to the entire cosmos." The next section is even more fascinating. Follow it carefully. "We know that 13.7 billion years ago, a gargantuan burst of energy, whose nature and source are completely unknown to us and not in the least understood by science, initiated the creation of our universe. Then suddenly, as if by magic, the God particle, the Higgs boson, discovered 2 years ago, came into being and miraculously gave the universe its mass. Why did this happen? The mass constituted elementary particles, the quarks and the electron, whose weights and electrical charges had to fall within immeasurably tight bounds for what would happen next. For from within the primeval soup of elementary particles that constituted the young universe, again, as if by a magic hand, the quarks suddenly bunched in threes to form protons and neutrons, their electrical charges set precisely to the exact level needed to attract and capture the electrons, which then began to circle nuclei made of the protons and neutrons. All of the masses, charges, and forces of interaction in the universe had to be in just the precisely needed amount so that early light atoms could form. Eventually, the highly complicated double helix molecule, the life-propagating DNA, would be formed. Are you grasping all of this? Why did everything we need to exist come into being? How is all of this possible without some latent outside power to orchestrate the precise dance of elementary particles required for the creation of all the essentials of life? The great British mathematician Roger Penrose has calculated, based on only one of the hundreds of parameters of the physical universe, that the probability of the emergence of a life-giving cosmos was, get this, 1 divided by 10 raised to the power of 10 and again raised to the power of 123. This is a number as close to zero as anyone has ever imagined. The probability is much, much smaller than that of winning the Mega Millions jackpot for more days than the 13.7 billion year old universe has been in existence. The scientific atheists have scrambled to explain this troubling mystery by suggesting the existence of a multiverse, an infinite set of universes, each with its own parameters. But if it takes an immense power of nature to create one universe, then how much more powerful would that force have to be in order to create infinitely many universes? So the purely hypothetical multiverse, to begin with, does not solve the problem of God. The incredible fine-tuning of the universe presents the most powerful argument for the existence of an immanent creative entity we may well call God. With all that we have examined, why are there not more scientists coming out in support of God's existence? A chief reason, there are others we will discuss later, that many will not acknowledge God's existence is because it also would be a change of religion for them, literally. Think. Most people cling at all costs to long-held beliefs, with this stubbornness more applicable to religious beliefs than any others. Atheism and evolution are religions to vast millions, something they consider to be personal, matters of faith not to be contested. Don't try. I repeat, this series is for the open-minded, hopefully you, not them. Let's see why so many atheists and evolutionists live in a world of frustration and disillusionment. It reveals a great truth. Finding a distinct beginning to the universe was something that most scientists did not anticipate, and which made most of them, like Einstein, enormously uncomfortable. There is a kind of religion in science, says Jastrow, a famous scientist. It is the religion of a person who believes there is order and harmony in the universe, and every event can be explained in a rational way as the product of some previous event. Every effect must have its cause. There is no first cause, but here it was, a first effect. The universe, most astronomers and physicists now agree, had a distinct beginning. There, therefore, must be a first cause, a prime mover, God, that set the universe in motion. For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the mountains of ignorance, he is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who've been sitting there for centuries. How sad that so many scientists seem to receive the knowledge of God's existence as a setback or defeat to be overcome, rather than joyfully accepting it as the biggest answer among life's greatest questions. A brief inset. While a subject for another time, at least realize the universe and Earth are not 6,000 years old, as some claim. This comes from misunderstanding the Genesis account, which leads many to lose confidence in the arguments of creationists. Let's learn the truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 1 describes when God created everything. It is straightforward, and nearly all translations render it the same. The true God is a perfect being. He always creates for a purpose. Consider his description of when the heavens and earth were created. Thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. The Hebrew for vain means a desolation, desert. a worthless thing without form, nothing, waste, or wilderness. The heavens and earth were created for immediate habitation, obviously not a worthless thing without form. Most never hear how the pre-Adamic world was populated by giant prehistoric creatures. This was a time of prehistory, as far as man is concerned. Men were created later, after the time Satan ruled the earth as Lucifer with his one-third of the angels, now demons. Men came after the time of their rebellion. Dinosaurs of all kinds, as well as animals like giant reptiles, inhabited earth. Now Genesis 1:2. Without form comes from tohu, the same as vain in Isaiah 45:18. Void comes from bohu, meaning a vacuity, a total emptiness of matter, a vacuum, an undistinguishable ruin. This is exactly what God said he did not create. He is not the author of confusion, rather doing everything decently and in order. The Hebrew haya makes this crystal clear. Incorrectly translated was in Genesis 1:2, a proper rendering is became or came to be. So the most accurate translation of verse 2 is, the earth became desolate, a worthless thing in an undistinguishable ruin. Let's summarize. Genesis 1:1 describes God creating the entire universe. Satan's rebellion occurred at some point between verses 1 and 2. Because they had failed to overthrow their creator, the devil and his demons, like spoiled children who could not get their own way, wrecked the face of the earth. Earthquakes and volcanoes shattered the planet, causing geological mayhem. Poisonous gases filled the atmosphere, choking everything that breathed and shutting out sunlight. Oceans overflowed Earth's surface until the whole planet was covered with water. All life, dinosaurs, plants, insects, and other creatures, was destroyed. Verses 1 and 2 describe vastly different times and events. Verse 2 describes Earth's recreation. Young Earth creationists correctly date this to about 6,000 years ago, but Earth has existed for billions of years. Only very recently did God recreate it for the first human beings, Adam and Eve. Not human interpretation, this is the Bible interpreting itself, which is one of the 12 great rules of Bible study. When one lets the Bible tell him what the Bible means and properly uses scientific data, the truth of creation is not only understood, but awe-inspiring. Now, don't miss the concluding part 5. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.